mothers in here to stand up for a minute? Now, I didn't ask the fathers, I asked the mothers. All the mothers, stand up. Okay? Kathy, you stand up too. You're a mother. You're a mother of a lot of people. Praise the Lord. Now, I want all you mothers to do what Ada said back there. I want you to pray for the fathers right now. And I want you to just go to the Lord right now and pray for the fathers. We need your prayers. We really do. Have at it, ladies. Just start praying out loud. Come on. God hears them prayers. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Now you might say to me, Oscar, why did you do that? I'm going to tell you. Because I know my mother's prayers were powerful. And I wouldn't be standing here today had she not prayed for me many a time. And, you know, I heard her in the back room many a time praying. You know, she'd go in there and shut the lights off and be back there by herself, and you could hear her in there praying, praising the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, it had an effect. Praise God. Okay. If I can get together, I'm going to tell you a joke. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we'll take up the offering. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless this offering. Father, we thank you that you are a source of supply. You supply all the needs according to your riches and glory. I ask you to just bless those that have to give and those that have not to give. Bless them too, Lord, so that they can give. Because giving is you said give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, will men give into your bosoms. And a lot of times we have not because we're not givers. But if we give to the Lord, then he gives back to us 100-fold. And I just ask you to bless the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We know, this little joke I'm going to tell you. A company was feeling it was time to shake up the hires, and they hired a new CEO. The new boss was determined to rid the company of the slackers. I've had a boss like that before. And I know exactly what that's like. And we had one like that. His name was Captain Jack. He came fresh out of the service, and he stirred things up, sometimes to his own detriment at times. But me and him came to an understanding after a while, and he actually ended up making me a supervisor. So, I know exactly what that's like. It says, the company was feeling it was time to shake up and hired a new CEO, and the new boss was determined to rid the company of all slackers. On a tour of the facility, the CEO noticed a guy leaning on the wall. The room was full of workers, and he thinks this is a chance to show everyone he means business. The CEO walks up to the guy and asks, "How much money do you make a week?" Undaunted, the young fellow looks at him and replies, "I make $200 a week. Why?" The CEO then hands the guy $200 in cash and screams, "Here's a week's pay. Now get out and don't come back." Feeling pretty good about his first firing, the CEO looks around the room and asks, "Does anyone want to tell me what that slacker did here?" With a sheepish grin, one of the workers mutters, "He's the pizza delivery guy." So he got a blessing, didn't he? He got a $200 tip. That was pretty good. Paid you to find out before you give him the money. Instead of asking him how much money he made, you should ask him, what do you do? Praise the Lord. I thought that was funny. Well, today the title to my sermon is The Expected End. Okay. And some of these scriptures might have been shared back in Sunday school. I believe they probably were. Hosea 6:1-3. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. And you know, I was thinking, you know, a lot of times, if you have surgery, like if you have shoulder surgery or something like that, if you have a torn rotator cuff or something like that, when you start to heal, you have to exercise to tear all the adhesions that are in your muscles where everything's been sewed back together and all that and healed. If you don't do that, you won't be able to use your arm. You won't be able to raise your arm. And, you know, so many times you have to realize that when the Lord tears, he heals. And anything that's going on in your life where it seems like at times that God's causing a great tearing, it's because a great healing's coming. And the tearing will be painful while it's happening. But I'm going to tell you what, after the healing comes, it's going to be wonderful because you'll have full range of motion in the things that he wants you to do. And so many times, like I say, we don't like that exercising to rip that thing out. But I'm going to tell you what, that's the very things that God does in our life a lot of times. He causes us to have to do things to cause a full motion to come back into whatever situation in our life he has us in. And you know, and he says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. And the real word for that word for sight there, it wasn't a great translation there. The real word there is we shall live in his face. And I'm going to tell you what, we're in the third day from the Lord. At the beginning of 2000, we passed from the second day into the third day. And if you remember back during that year 2000, everybody thought their computers were going to go bonkers and everything was going to stop and everything was going to be messed up and all that. And you know what happened? Nothing. So it was a lot of panic and a lot of people worrying about something that was nothing. But there was a dawning of a new day in the natural, and there's a dawning of a new day in the spiritual. And I want you to know that 3 has the meaning of resurrection, divine completeness, and perfection. And that's what he wants to do in this third day. He wants to resurrect us into a place that we had with him before the world was. He wants us to have the divine completion and the perfection of his presence in our life to the fullness of all that he is. And it says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, that his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain, and as the former rain unto the earth. And you know, when it says there that then shall we know, and I like the true meaning of those words. If you go back and you look at them in the original, it literally means to ascertain by seeing. You know, we have to come to a place where we see the things of God. We see them spiritually. But I'm going to tell you what, when we begin to see them spiritually, then we begin to settle into a place of peace and a place of assurance in him. But it means, then shall we know, that means to ascertain by seeing, if we follow. And the word for there for follow, that wasn't a very good translation of that word either. It's to run after. There's a difference between following somebody and running after them. If you run after them, you're wanting to overtake them. You're wanting to get where they are. If you follow them, you're kind of hanging back. And I think a lot of times we as being Christians, we have a tendency that we want to follow. We don't want to run after him. And I'm going to tell you what, in this day and age, we need to run after him. We need to go after him as hard as we can. And it says, then shall we know, or we shall ascertain by seeing, if we run after, I'm going to say the words that they really mean, if we run after the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. You know what happens in the morning? You ever tried to stop the morning from coming? It don't work. I worked night shift a little while one time, and we had room darkening shades and all kind of curtains and everything else. But I'm going to tell you what, when the morning came, the light came in that room. I don't care what you did. It broke under the door. It went through the side of the curtains. It came in there. You can't stop the morning. And that's the way the Lord is. You can't stop his coming in your life, his revealing himself. Then shall we, his going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, the latter, and the former rain. That's three different realms of rain. You know what? That's a lot of rain. But I'm going to tell you what, the latter rain was a teaching rain. And you know, we sing that song, it's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He said, whosoever will come drink of this water. He's promised to pour his spirit out on his sons and his daughters. You know, it's beginning to rain, you know. And you know what? We used to say, keep me from the rain. And I had us change that to keep me in the rain. Because we want the rain of God to fall on us. We want his water to so overtake us that we drink of that water of life and we begin to become that water of life to other people when we deal with them in the earth. You know, I love that. This is a great portion of scripture here. I'm going to read it to you again. Come, I'm going to read the whole thing. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his face. Then shall we know, and that's ascertained by seeing, if we follow or if we run after him to know the Lord, that his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain and as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. And my next scripture here is Philippians 3:12 through 17. Not as though I had already attained, neither had already were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Do you know God's been apprehending you? He's been apprehending you your whole life. He was apprehending you when you didn't know him, you didn't care to know him, or anything else. He was still apprehending you. He was allowing the situations to come into your life that would make you say, oh God, what else is going to happen now? Oh God, get me out of this mess. Oh God, what did I do? You know, and buddy, we say that stuff even before we even know the Lord. And you get a lot of people in a foxhole and they'll be saying, oh God, help me. When them bullets are flying over your head and the bombs are bursting around you and everything else. But we all do that. And I want you to know that he's been apprehending us. We've been apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And this is what you're supposed to do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, there's a scripture that says, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. Do you know what that means? You know, I used to go up and stay with my uncle some in the summer, and he would plow the fields, and he had a tractor. But I'm going to tell you, I understand what they're saying here about he that puts his hand to the plow, because in the day when this scripture was written, they used oxen, you know, to pull the plow. And if you start going down them rows and you look back, wherever you look, that's where that plow's going to go. If you look to the right, it's going to end up going to the right. If you look to the left, it's going to go to the left. and you're going to have some pretty crooked rows, and you're not going to get a very good harvest. But he that looks back, he says, is not worthy of me. And he says, brethren, I count on myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, when you press towards something, that means you're going after it. That means what it said up there in Hosea, you're going to run after it. You know, I'll tell you what, if if you got in a taxi and you drove here to church today and you realized that your wallet or your purse was left in that taxi and he started pulling down the driveway, I guarantee you, you wouldn't walk out there real slow and just wave your hand. You'd be running down the driveway trying to catch that guy. But I tell you what, we need to run after him because he is the pearl of great price. He's got the treasures. He's the one that that has everything that we need, that prize of that high calling in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And the high prize in him, when Abraham had encountered God as El Shaddai, he was told of God, I am thy exceeding great reward. That's the reward. It's not going to heaven. That's not the reward. He is the reward. And I'm going to tell you what, when you receive him and you begin to receive him in his fullness, you can have no greater reward than that. No greater riches could you ever have than to have all of him. Praise God. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And you say, well, Oscar, I'm not perfect. No, you and yourself, you are not perfect. But he said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And when he says be you something, guess what? You are, because he's going to make you be that before it's all over with. It might be a process. You might be right now thinking, oh my God, I ain't never going to be perfect. But I'm going to tell you what, quit lying to yourself, because you are going to be perfect, because he said be ye. And when he says be you, you're going to be it. Just like in the beginning, he said, let there be, and it was. And he created everything that we see in the natural and everything that we don't see that's in the spiritual realms. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. And sometimes we think, well, God, why do you show me some of my faults sometimes and make them so glaringly apparent? You know why? Because he wants us to realize outside of him, we have nothing. But in him, we have everything. You know, that's why he reveals to us sometimes that in ourself, we're not perfect. But in him, and we are in him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In him, we live and move and have our being. And we have to begin to confess that all the time. And the more we confess that in him we live and move and have our being, the more we'll begin to move out of him, you know, from him to those around us. And it'll be, instead of moving out of self, we'll start moving out of the presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know. And he says, nevertheless, whereunto we already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be ye followers of me, and mark them also which walk so as you have for an example. And you know, I love this. King David said one time, as for me, and this is David, and David was considered to be a man after God's own heart. And we know David in the natural was not a perfect man. We know he committed adultery. He had his future wife's husband sent out to the very front of the battle to be killed. He actually told, put him in the front of the battle and withdraw from him so he'd be killed. Why? So he could have another man's wife. That's pretty bad stuff. But yet God said David was a man after his own heart. And you know why that was? Because David would always confess when he had done wrong. he would always admit his faults. He would always fall on the mercies of God. You know, the difference between David and Saul, you know, Saul one time was told to go down and, when he was king, was told to go down and utterly destroy the enemies and everything that they had. And he brought back sheep and cattle and all kind of stuff. And Samuel met him and said, "Saul, what's this I hear, the lowing of the cattle and the baaing of the sheep? What have you done?" And you know what Saul says? "Well, the people told me I should do this. And they said we should bring this stuff back. And let me tell you what, who are you going to listen to, the people or God?" I'm going to tell you what, listen to God. If the people, any of the people, tell you something that God's not telling you, you push that aside. And you go and you follow him. You know, but David said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." That's the only thing that's ever going to totally satisfy you when you awake in God's likeness. And there's only one way that you're going to do that. That's when you see him as he is, then you'll be just like him. You can try as hard as you want to be perfect. You can try as hard as you want to be good. You can try as hard as you want to do everything that you think God wants you to do. But what will really change you as you begin to see him as he is. Not as he was. A lot of people are looking for Jesus as he was. They're looking for someone to come riding up on a donkey with a beard and long hair and robes and all that stuff. And I got news for you. When he came to them back then, they didn't recognize him, most of them. And when he comes to the church today, sometimes they don't recognize him. You know, but I'm going to tell you what. You'll begin to recognize him as you see him as he is. In him, we live and move and have our being. Christ in you, a hope of glory. And you got to quit putting him out there yonder somewhere and start believing he's in here. Know you not that you're the temple of God? If you're the temple of God and God dwells in his temple, guess what? He's there all the time. He's there no matter what you're doing. He's there no matter what you're not doing, that you should be doing. He knows. But he loves you in spite of it. And he's going to change you. And he's the only one that can change you. You can't change yourself. You can try as hard as you might to change yourself. And I'll tell you what, the harder you try, the bigger mess you'll make of it a lot of times. And that's not saying that you shouldn't try to change, but I believe you should try to change at times. But when you're doing it in your own strength, you'll find that it won't work. It won't happen the way you want it to happen. Okay, Psalm 57, 7 through 11. "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory." That's a strange statement. Awake up, my glory. "Awake, psalmistry and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth." Now I'm going to tell you, when he says, "Awake up, my glory." Now the word there for awake up, literally it's the thought or the ideal of opening the eyes to awake. It's to awake, to wake up, to lift up, to master self, to rise up, to stir up self. But it's saying to awake. And you know, when God, in Genesis, when God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he took Eve out of Adam, you know, and I said to Ada back there this morning, they were talking about something, and I told her, I said, well, who came first, the man or the woman? If you go back to Genesis, really God was the first, but you know, if you go back to Genesis, the man was there, and God took man out of woman out of man. So that's why woman is to be at our side, not behind us, but at our side. And we're to be one with women. We're not to treat them any less or any insignificant, any less significant than we are. And sometimes you joke about some of that stuff, but I want you to know that in Christ there's neither male nor female. In Christ, it's all God, and that's what it's all going to end up being in the finality of everything anyway. In Romans 8:18 it says, and this is talking about the glory here, awake my glory, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You mean there's already a glory in us to be revealed? Yes, there is. And I got news for you. It's time for us to start waking up and realizing that that glory dwells inside of us, and that glory is all about Him. It's not about us, because He said, I'll not give my glory to another. But you know what? You're not another. Because when you were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, you're a part of Him. Each seed is after its own kind. And you know, just like in the natural, when there was seed deposited in one of you ladies at one point, you brought forth a child. And that child was a mixture of you and your husband. And you know what? When the seed of God was brought forth in us, you know what that seed can bring forth? Each seed after its own kind, the only thing it can bring forth is God. It has to bring forth God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Him you live and move and have your being. Praise God. And I love that, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, but in us. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end. That was the title to my sermon here, The Expected End. And I'm going to tell you what that expected end is, okay? It said, then when you call upon me, you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then I wrote, what is the expected end? And Romans 8:19 says this, for the earnest expectation, there's your expectation right there. The earnest expectation of the creature, that's all of created life, everything that's created, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And what does that mean? The sons of God. You know, Scripture tells us to as many as received Him in the Gospel of John, in the very, very first chapter there, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And if you really take a literal translation of that, it would say, to as many as took a hold of Him and became part of Him, He gave the exousia, the power, the right, the privilege, the force. And Star Wars didn't originate that. God did. The force to come into being a son of God. Praise God. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in thy likeness. And that's what David said again. And it says, going back to Romans, it says, beloved, this is not in Romans, this is 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's where we have to say, Lord, open my eyes and let me begin to behold the beauty of you in the land of the living. And in Ephesians 4:11-15 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And why did he give those ministries? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that word for edifying really means the building up of the body of Christ. That's why you come in here on Sunday morning to get built up. And you know why? So that you can go out there and be the representation of him in the world. That's exactly why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the minister, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I like what it says, what it says in the Amplified Bible. It basically says that they might go out and do the work of the ministry. Who? The body of Christ. You. Not Brother Oscar, because he's the minister here, or the preacher here, or the pastor, whatever you want to call it. But all of you. Your ministers. Every one of you. Praise God. For the perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ. And why did he do that? Till we all come into the unity of the faith. The oneness of the faith. You know, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ is? It's him. Just like Jesus could say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. One of these days you're going to be able to say, when you come to the full realization of this, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Because he's in me. You know, I'm a part of his body. You know, and folks, I know that sounds out there a little bit to some people. When people listen on the internet, that might sound out there. But I got news for you. That's exactly what God's going to do. He has never deviated away from what he said in Genesis. When he said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let him have dominion. I got news for you. He said, let us make man. He didn't say, let us create man. There's a difference between creating something and making it. When you create something, it's a finished product. When you make something, there's a process. And you're in the middle of that process of coming to the realization of who and what you are in Christ right now. He's making you in to a son of God. Praise God. Till we all come into the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. And I'm going to tell you what, men are cunning and they're crafty. And buddy, they try to deceive you. They don't want you to know that Christ in you is the hope of glory, and in him you live, move, and have your being, and that as you come to the realization of truly seeing him as he is, you're going to be exactly like him. Oh, Brother Oscar, you're trying to make yourself into a little God. No, I'm not. God has to do that. I can't do it. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. Into who? Into that Christ in you, and into the very nature that Jesus showed. He was the express image of the Father. You're the express image of the Father too. You just haven't realized the fullness of it yet. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Lord, help us grow up quickly. Help us come to that realization. Help us come to that understanding of what you're doing in our lives. And that you know, this is not just a little thing that hoping I can get by until I get to glory land or get to heaven or whatever. But this is something to where you're saying to us, son and daughter, I want you to come to the fullness of all that I am. I want you to come to the perfection that I have said, be ye perfect, for your Father in heaven, which is perfect. And I'm going to tell you what, until we begin to believe what the Word says, and like I told you a while back, when you see things in Scripture and it's talking about something in the natural, it's talking about you in the Spirit. When it talks about Mount Zion, you know who Mount Zion is? It's you. When it talks about New Jerusalem coming down from above, you know who it's talking about? It's talking about you. When it talks about, you know, heirs was man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visited him in Hebrews, when it talks about that, you made him a little lower than the angels. You set him over the works of your hands. We don't all see all things put under his feet, but we see Jesus. Jesus was the beginning of the new creation. He was God incarnate in flesh. He was the fullness of God dwelling in the body. And you know what? That same fullness wants to dwell in you. That same fullness. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. If anybody'd like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. I don't know if you got a song or anything. If you feel you have one, please feel free. Praise God. Just know, folks, that God is going to do this. He's the one that's going to do it. You don't have to do a whole lot other than just yield to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves and speaks to your heart. And it's a lot simpler than what everybody would make it out there. You don't have to keep 99 new laws or 99 new steps or anything like that. Just follow the leading of His Spirit each and every day. As God speaks to your heart, do what He tells you to do. Be obedient. And you know what? This thing will happen a lot faster than you'd ever would imagine if you'll just do that. Praise God.
Lord, I want to be like You. It is my heart's desire. I want to know You face to face, not from afar. To die to my own will, lay all ambitions down, to wholly seek Your face while walking in Your grace. Take my life, let it be holy unto Thee. Take my life, let it be holy unto Thee, a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a my life, I give it all to You. Lord, I give You my life. Take my life. Hallelujah. Let it be holy. it be. Holy unto thee, a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, Lord, Lord, I give you my life, I give it all to you. Lord, I give you my life, take every part of me. Lord, I give you my life.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Jim, did you have a poem or something you wanted to share?
The only thing I want to share was, you said that we come to church to be built up, and I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. But many of our brothers and sisters are not in church anymore.
Yeah. That's true.
Walk with me every moment of the day. And I agree with Pastor Oscar, and says we do kind of be built up. I agree. And I think somehow this church thing has taken us off the hook a lot of times from the real responsibility that we have to the Savior. So mm-hmm. I just want to encourage everybody to ask, seek, and knock. I don't know what I'm saying.
And that scripture that we read, you know, where it talks about those ministry were given to edify the body of Christ, to build them up. And I love the way it says it in the Amplified. It says that they, the body of Christ, might go out and do the work of the ministry. See, the Amplified makes it more clearer what it's really saying there. And you guys can go out and do the work of the ministry, but you have to stay tapped into the source. I mean, He's the source. He's inside of you. And whatever you need and whatever sufficiency you think you don't have, in Him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you within. And you're more than sufficient enough. His strength will be made perfect in your weakness. And a lot of times we say, oh God, I'm so weak, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Just be obedient and do what the Lord tells you to do each and every day. And seek His face and spend time before Him, like Jim's saying. That's important. That's super important. And if you find yourself in discouragement, praise the Lord. Sing praise songs. And that discouragement will have to go away. It can't stay there. You know, you remember that song? What was that song where that guy pounded on his chest and sang that happy song? I can't remember. Yeah, don't worry, be happy. And you know what? You can't listen to that song without getting a little happy. Because it just makes you smile, you know. And that's the same with praise. You can't be all down in the dumps if you're praising God and singing love songs to Him and telling Him how wonderful He is. Wow, what a change. Well, praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask You to bless Your people. And Father, help us to begin to realize who and what we are in Christ, and most of all, who and what You are in us. And as we begin to realize that, then creation's going to begin to be set free out there, Lord. And I give You all the praise. I give You all the glory. I give You all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.